Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in New York City, joined by Max Zavadow, and also joined by his roommate, Grace Ryder, who was building a bookshelf in the living room while we filmed this episode. Max is a comedian and a master of satire who makes TikToks that make you think that you're about to watch some corny little trend, and then they completely derail into this, like, short film kind of fever dream style video. If you haven't seen his stuff before, check it out and also watch this episode. So if you were gonna go check it out and not come back, don't check it out. Actually, in this episode, we dive into his transition from the world of finance and business into the world of comedy. We talk about what fuels his creativity, and also he shares with me a story about a very dark, fateful night where he was really desperate for some queso. It's a great episode. Max is great. Grace is also there and great. She's great too. We also talk about the TikTok ban because this was supposed to come out last week, but I was really sick. Just ignore the fact that we kind of look stupid for being so dramatic about a TikTok ban that only lasted 14 hours. And also ignore the fact that I ran out of contacts and am wearing my glasses from middle school. And so audio listeners, if you start to wonder why I sound smarter this episode, it's because of that. I'm wearing glasses that make me look like, and not to be mean to myself, but an ugly nerd. Anyway, enjoy the episode. I think you're gonna love it. It's a lot of fun. And that's all the preface that I have for you. So I'm gonna stop talking now. Oh, wait, one more thing. All right, Max Zavadow. Is that how you say your last
Zavadow,
name?
Zavadow, yeah.
Zavadow.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Like welcome to the pod.
Thank you.
Welcome. Also, Grace Ryder, welcome to the pod.
Just off camera.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Grace is Max's roommate and is currently building a bookshelf. Mm-hmm. So stick around to the end of this podcast where that bookshelf is going to be built.
Yep. You're going to see it in all its glory.
You're seriously not going to want to miss this, you guys. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on not your couch. I think you might have kind of ruined the integrity of this entire show.
But I told you what was what.
You did. But I still am going to complain about it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Quite a couch, but we did squeeze together two chairs.
Yes. And it was great. I only fell between them two times in the night.
Yeah, you have to kind of pull them together.
Yeah.
But while you're in it.
Yeah, and I curled up in a little ball. Mm-hmm. And it was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you started, okay, I found a little interview that you did. Mm-hmm. On Substack.
Oh, with Andrew Green.
Maybe.
Toilet Reads.
Yes, Toilet Reads.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you worked at a bank before. Yes. You were a business major in college. Grace is making all sorts of noises.
Sorry.
So you were a business major in college. Yes. And then you went from a bank and then it's to NBA 2K League?
Yes, I worked for the NBA 2K League.
What is that?
The NBA 2K League is essentially every NBA team has a video game version. Like they have a team that competes in 2K.
Okay.
Not as, like, they draft real life people to compete on behalf of the team and they bring them together to play and they go up against each other in, like, regular season and tournaments and playoffs.
So what did you do there?
I worked in strategy. So, okay. Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound super real.
No. No. It sounds like maybe the fakest job that...
Yeah, to work in strategy at the NBA 2K League. But it was awesome. It was really fun. It worked really well with comedy, but what did I do there?
Yeah.
An assortment of things, really.
Okay, so you're still lying now.
I'm really confused about it. Is this an esports team?
Yeah, it's esports.
It's esports, okay.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. I'm starting to understand. And then you transition into an even faker job somehow.
Yes.
Of stand-up comedy, TikTok.
Yes.
Both, which... what led you to make that decision was a shrooms trip in California? Is that true?
That was one of probably like four or five things that led me to do it. But yeah, it was definitely one of the key moments was a mushroom trip in California. We went to, I'm blanking. It was called the, we went to a ranch. Some friends of mine went to a ranch. because I was very interested in trying mushrooms. I don't do drugs terribly often, but I think there are things that I'm curious about. And so if I was going to do it, I wanted to do it right. So I gathered a group of my best friends and we went to a ranch that had a bunch of cows, and we just kind of had fun. And but that was, yeah, I on that trip with my friends, I was like, oh, I can do whatever I want. I just have to live with the consequences of whatever that is, but I'll rip it.
Yeah, right, until, yeah.
But it took me another 9 months to find. At that point in time, I was working in investment banking. It took me another 9 months before I left for the NBA 2K League job. And when I left for the NBA, I started making videos and doing stand-up.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
It's fun. Yeah. It took some time because I knew if I was going to leave and like really give comedy a shot, I wanted to do it in a way that was, in my brain at the time, responsible.
And what do you mean responsible? Like, what does that look like?
So I think there are, I mean, there are stories of creators, some of them work out, some of them don't, where they're just like, I want to be a creator, and they'll quit their job and they'll just like try and make it happen. Or there are people who are like, oh, I want to be a comedian, and they go like 100% at it without ever really trying. And so I just wanted to gather some market data. I wanted to see a proof of concept, like before I quit my job completely, not or before I quit like a 9-to-5, I want like a proof of concept that I'm funny or that this is something that's viable, because while I love doing it, if I'm gonna try and do it as a career, I want to know that other people agree that I'm funny. I think it's an ongoing thing. I am constantly writing and putting out videos and learning, and I think that's kind of all you can do is iterate. Maybe it would be helpful to like take some kind of like maybe an improv class or
I'll pay for them.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Well,
shrooms, whatever it takes.
I will take you up on the improv class if you will pay for that.
Okay. Okay. Absolutely. Well, that was
I would pay for yours. Okay. We can do it together.
Ooh, that sounds like a nightmare I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
Sorry.
It's all iterative.
I'm just lying to be mean.
Oh.
Yeah, so a lot of your first TikToks were you kind of like walking through Central Park and talking about bisexuality, which is like what most people tend to do these days, I think.
Yeah, I think I was...
You were just filming it.
Yeah, I was just putting it on camera and sharing it with the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those were... I think those were probably my first 15 videos were about that. Or I'm not... Okay, I probably did 60 videos before any of them got any traction. I would say the first like 15 videos that got traction were about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of my videos that like first broke out were like gay jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very like,
can I get one? Can I hear one of them?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
RuPaul.
RuPaul who?
I'm RuPaul and I'm gay.
Did that crush online?
Yeah, yeah. So that one was like 4 mil, and you can look it up. And
well, was it like a back and forth where you were playing both characters? So you were the knock knock and the who's there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, no, I did hire an actor. It was Craigslist. Knock knock, who's there?
Craigslist, not a bad drag name. Craigslist.
Oh, Craigslist.
Craigslist. Craigslist.
Craigslips.
Whoa, there we go. Craigslist.
Yeah, okay. We got it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I see that in my future.
See, this is what comedy is about.
Yeah.
It's about taking an idea and bringing it to those that you care about and trust and seeing how do you make good integrate.
Yeah.
How do you make good integrace?
So, now I do want to just clarify why I'm having such trouble here. This is stripped.
Yeah.
So I can't properly...
What does that mean, it's stripped?
Well, yeah, explain that.
Or maybe it's not the term...
For the queers.
Yeah.
It's like, here, can you like, look at the actual tip of it, and it's, like, warped. Do you see what I mean? It's like...
Oh, I do.
The
roots
are, like, loose and stuff, so it doesn't catch on the side of, like, the thing.
To be fair, you bought this from a hardware store today that was selling a Cat in the Hat bag that looked like it had been dragged through mud.
No. This one is the one I had. This one is the new one, and the only problem is she doesn't fit.
Oh,
this one is too small, so I'm really struggling.
It's the Goldilocks problem.
It's like I'm really struggling just because.
Let's get this girl some porridge.
This doesn't work. So this is like low key like way more difficult than it needs to be, and like these little guys. Taboria.
I mean, it's
Yeah.
Well,
Taboria.
Yeah. I have like. So anyways, I think most of the self-building will be me attaching these. So anyways,
continue. No, that was fascinating. Thank you so much for that update.
Also,
and we can't wait to see what you're doing over there.
I'm not sure how much you're cutting back and forth to me, so if people are like...
What's going on with Grace?
What's going on? Like, why is she so... Why is she like this? That's why.
That's why.
Right.
I feel like if I was watching the video, that would annoy me.
Yeah.
But I guess this is a podcast.
Bisexuality, you still doing that?
I think I've definitely learned more concisely what I like. I think at the time it was very ambiguous. I think what I like is more female presenting, be it like, you know, cis or trans, pre or post-op.
Either okay.
I think,
okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
because
I just thought I thought that was something that people only did in 2020 for attention. And it.
I mean, I definitely... I definitely spoke about it for attention, but no, I think like that's sexuality is something I've been working on figuring
Boo,
out.
Bored.
For, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean
sorry,
you asked.
To, yeah,
you
no,
asked.
You're right. I did ask. That was my fault, and I won't do it again. So you kind of went from your walking, talking videos to these like elaborate skits. These mm-hmm. you called them last night. You said that they were. Very short films.
Really short films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you make that change? Because for anyone who hasn't watched your content, first of all, go watch it. Yeah, and it's a lot of like you take some kind of trend or some kind of video that you've seen, and you kind of satirize it. Mm-hmm. You make some kind of big twist, and then like you think that it's just going to be. This trend, like one of my favorite videos that you've done is, my friend holds my boyfriend's hand and sees how long it takes for him to notice.
Yeah.
And it is like the girl walks up and grabs your hand and you're like on your phone and don't notice. Mm-hmm. And then the video is just like a 10-minute video of you guys walking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. I think what's fun is, if you promise someone something, they're gonna watch, they're gonna wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also curious, that video was also like me experimenting with, what does it mean to post a video on Reels that's longer than 90 seconds?
Right.
And so I was like, okay, if I post can I post a 10-minute video? Is that allowed?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to see, and you can, and it got like 6 million views, and it was like a 10-minute video of me just walking, ignoring my girlfriend's friend, and who doesn't even exist. And people were so frustrated in the comments.
Yeah.
But the video itself
like,
was the punchline.
She,
yeah.
she like gets on your back.
Yeah, she
and
starts like ripping my shirt off.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really great video.
Thank you.
So how did you, what got you into this like satirical kind of content? Like going from just these like walking, like what you see is what you get to like this like unexpected twist and this misdirection.
Yeah. I feel like the things that I'm making kind of fall into two buckets. I would say there's like straight satire, which is more... the video where I walk for 10 minutes with the girl, like that to me is like, I saw an idea and I was like, what's like a straight satire to me is more like you see something, you recreate it with your own twist on it with maybe like one or two differences.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also the more elaborate videos that I make. And to me, that's where I kind of see the really short films, which is like, there's a narrative there.
Mm-hmm.
You set out with a beginning, So I think with that, it's like when you think about a sketch, right? It's like, here's a premise. We'll punch up on the premise, back off, one final punch. And that's a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily, it kind of like climbs a ladder, mm-hmm. right? What I like to do, what I try to do is you start with the premise, but instead of punching up, you go left.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go down and you go up and then you go through. Mm-hmm. And, you have like some
and,
sort
and
of
punching up for those who mm-hmm. aren't comedians. Yeah. But if you're not a comedian and you're watching this, please stop. It's really freaking me out.
Stop punching up.
Yeah. Well, punching up is like escalating the bit.
Yeah.
As opposed
to like punching up in the sense of you're making fun of someone that has like higher social standing.
Correct.
Than you.
That's
like punching up, punching down.
Which love that.
Yeah.
Love punching up.
So
in that sense,
with the videos, instead of like an escalation, it's more of a through line.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of the two things. But how I came to doing satire was I would just see a video and I was like, something about the video didn't sit right with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you feel something, that's worth exploring. Like, why did you feel that way? Okay, if you felt that way, what can you do with that? Like, how do you show people how you feel, mm-hmm. right? And doing that within the context of the original premise is...
Yeah.
Was really fun to me.
Yeah.
I think the first time I really did that was in November 2022. December 2022. I like just quit my job at the NBA and I was doing it full time and I went to California to make some videos and I saw a video and he was like, social anxiety is not real. Or he was like, I used to be really socially anxious. And then I realized nobody cares what you do. Mm. And it was a video of him just going around doing doing these rejection therapy things where he would like go up to someone and be like at a bar, he'd be like, excuse me, ma'am, can we dance? Or he would like get on the street and like plank. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know if you're like beating social anxiety or you're just being annoying.
Yeah.
And so I made a video where I was like, I used to have social anxiety until I realized nobody cares what you do. And the first thing I did was like, I walked up to a woman on the boardwalk and I was like, excuse me, like, I thought you were really beautiful. I was just wondering if I could give you a kiss. And she was like, okay. And then I kiss her. And then I'm like, I could literally get into a woman's car and she wouldn't even care. And I get into a woman's car and my friend was like filming me from a distance. And she like takes out pepper spray and like sprays me in the face. And I fall out of the car and I'm like, fuck. And then it cuts to me and I'm at a McDonald's. And I'm like, I could just ask a stranger for some of his food. And he would probably say yes.
Uh-huh.
And I go up and I ask a stranger, these are all my friends, but it's like, I ask a stranger for my food and, or for some of his food. And he's like, no. And I'm like, sit over there. And he like looks away and I like grab his food. And then I like run away. And so that was like the first iteration of it. But
yeah,
that was the first instance of me seeing a video being like, there's something about that I don't like. How can I play with that?
Yeah.
Because if there's something that doesn't sit with me about that, I bet there's something that doesn't sit with a lot of people about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of taking this, like, this... You felt like he was being annoying, and so you were like, let me be annoying.
Yeah, my thing is, like, I don't ever actually want to infringe upon someone's life. Like, what Borat did, or what Sacha Baron Cohen did, right, was, like, he was, with his satire, he was getting in the way of real people in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing that online, so the people in my videos, you know... they're there to illustrate a point. They're like people that have come to like make the video with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think whereas the height of satire used to be like going out and like existing amongst the people in real time, I think now the people that you're messing with aren't the real people that you're making stuff with. It's mm-hmm. actually the people that are watching it. Those mm-hmm. are the ones that you're kind of like either getting one over on or are kind of like playing with.
Yeah, a lot of your commenters like are like, is this real? Mm-hmm. Is this not, like, I still can't understand if this is a
like
joke.
I would say on like the straight satire stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of it's like, I can't, like, is this did you do that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes me kind of concerned for media mm-hmm. literacy like, yeah. as a whole. Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe people don't know that that's not real. And it's like, I don't know, like, when you scroll, your assumption isn't that people are taking time out of their day to do these elaborate things to kind of, like, fuck with you a little bit. It's just,
That's not me. I think everyone's trying...
You do?
Trying to lie to me all the time.
Yeah. And that's probably what makes you good at what you do, is kind of, like, this...
trust issues?
No, this, like... Oh. Not. I don't know if suspicion about the world's the right way to say it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this innate nature to question.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you. I'm going to try to hold on to that.
Yeah. Cut over to...
Just so you know, I did figure out this comes off and I was using the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So this is the actually right...
That's right,
I was supposed to use for it. So now we're smooth sailing.
That's incredible. Thank you so much.
Back to you, Corey.
And back to the actual show. Where do you find so many people? You have a lot of like crowds and mm-hmm. casts, and I was in one of your, I got to be in one of your shoots today,
uh-huh.
And there were like 20 people there,
yeah, it was
which
awesome.
I think is more people than I've ever met before, so uh-huh. it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are really just down to do something silly,
because uh-huh.
like, I think something that I try to get a lot of in my life is serendipity. And you only get serendipity when you're out existing among the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are also really hungry for that. And so if you invite someone to a shoot, be it a TikToker or a stand-up comedian, more often than not, a lot of them are down just to be silly. And you know, they definitely help me with my videos coming out and being in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the assumption is they know that I would do the same for them. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was a great feeling of just like community and like people just like loving to try to make each other laugh. And yeah. I mean, like it just really helps the shoot have such good energy that really like.
Yeah. I mean, cause if you're not having fun making it, people will be able to tell. That goes for like the bisexual videos that I used to make. If I was walking around the park and I'm like miserable making it, you're going to be able to tell, like it'll come across in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think I've ever.
Well, also like bisexual people are just generally miserable.
Yeah. Just genuinely displeased.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it has to be exhausting to be greedy like that, you know,
just to kind of take and take and take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to have like both straight people and gay people hate you. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Just got to float on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was so cool to like witness your process. And also we just met last night.
We did meet last night. We've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Together.
We had an adventure. You were picking me up in a rental car that you had. And then we like for a shoot. And then
what was it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yep.
That is the address of the place that I was staying at. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Anthpo.
Yeah. I imagine you'll bleep that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. I don't do anything.
We don't.
I sit in this chair.
We do not edit.
No,
edit this. Yeah.
I'll imagine someone on my team will edit that.
On your
Are you writing that down?
Gigantic team.
You guys writing that down?
Hey, put your pants back on.
Why? Oh my! They're always trying to do some freaky shit like that. Seriously, gross. They think that just because I don't pay them, that they can just take their clothes off and.
It's
kind of do it behind the camera.
Wait.
It's like, if you're going to do it on camera. Patreon.com/KoiPiso.
Yep. Plugged. Mm-hmm. Plugged. Consider yourself plugged.
Yep. Thanks so much.
I was just thinking about squirrels in my pants.
Like,
something that one of you guys just said. Yeah. From Phineas Verb. S-I-M. It spells simp.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was really cool. You know, I met Dan Povenmire.
That feels like a creator rite of passage.
Really?
I feel like a lot of creators meet him. He seems like to be around the community, which is really cool.
I think that it was the only time that I've ever like cried meeting someone.
Really?
Yeah. Like it was actually such an emotional, like it was like, because like Phineas and Ferb, the humor is so good in that show.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Can I ask you something? Have you ever met someone that changed your life in just meeting them?
I mean, not to give it like a cheesy answer, but I feel like that's everyone that I meet. But if I have to think of like one single person, a big one is Carl Jacobs.
Who's that?
He's the guy from Mr. Beast videos and also does his own stuff. But like we met through,
can you
like,
edit that to be, fuck yeah, not who was that?
Do a take with,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then say like three things you like about him.
I like that he has two first names.
Right.
Although I guess Jacobs isn't a first name.
Right.
He called you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the guy from Euphoria, but then I remembered that's a fictional
character. Nate Jacobs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nate Jacobs.
Nate Jacobs. Played by Jacob Elordi.
Oh, I never watched that show.
I watched the first season. Didn't really get it. Didn't stick with me the way it seemed to stick with other people.
Yeah.
You ever watch something and you're like, well, I'm not that depressed.
Yeah. No, that happens to me with most things. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah. You're like, not me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just back to Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah. Back to Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah. I just think that the comedy in that show has aged so well. Like, I think that it's so funny. And I think that so much of like the, my humor as an adult now is rooted in that show. So meeting Dan Povenmire was like
really
huge.
Cool.
Do you have anyone who's the person you met?
The person that I met that like in terms of like, I'll say like professional people, like, you know, because many of my friends I think have changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Jack. I love you, Frank. I love you, Paul. I love you, Isaac. I love you, Daniel.
Cutting all of that.
I love you, other Jack.
Just cutting. Yeah.
I love you, Emily.
Okay, that was just like a made up name.
Lots of women named Emily.
I love you, Alicia.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The person I think that I met that changed my life was Gary Goldman.
Who
is a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And he was the first person when I was in high school that I ever saw a piece of his work.
Mm.
And I was so moved by it that I had to show everyone that I knew.
Mm.
Like, I saw a special of his. It was either In This Economy or About Time. I think it was In This Economy. And I sat, I probably sat down with three or four of my friends and was like, you have to see what this guy did.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was my hero forever.
Right.
Right. And when I saw that, I knew I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to try to, in some fashion, do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched all of his stuff. I watched it religiously. I, like, whenever he would go on a podcast, I would listen. I felt like there was so much to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated college. I did a little bit of stand-up my senior year, but COVID happened, so I didn't really get to get into it. And I graduate, I'm working investment banking. My comedy teacher from senior year calls me. Everyone knew that I loved Gary. She was like, Gary's coming to our class on Zoom next week. Would you want to join? And just, you know, because I know he's your favorite. And I was like, oh my God, I would love to come. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, he'll be.
Grace? You good over there?
Sorry. She was like, come, like, ask a question. I spent probably, like, 2 hours, like, figuring out, like, what question I wanted to ask him. Mm-hmm. My sister came to the class, too, because she, like, that's it. We love watching him together. And then my roommate at the time, who I love, Jack Tenney, I lived with him because of Gary, because I met him at a party senior year, and we talked about Gary Goldman, and he thought that I was so cool because I knew who he was.
Uh-huh.
And, like, was a fan of his. And so I'm on the call. It's my turn to ask the question. My roommate Jack is on my bed, like, out of frame, because I didn't ask if he could come. He's just in his underwear hanging out, but, like, listening in. And I asked my question, which was, how did you know that stand-up or comedy wasn't something that you wanted to do, but it was something that you had to do, that you had to, like, really pursue and try to make a life out of? And and he answered the question, and then
he goes,
like,
oh, I don't know.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
Thank you. And, well, he just talked about what the job that he had after college and how he felt about it. He worked at PwC right after college, which is, like, an accounting firm. And I was like, also, you know, before the next question, I just want to let you know that, like, I actually live with my roommate because of you. And I explained the situation. He was like, oh, that's so cool. Where is he? And I was like, I lift up my computer and I'm like, he's right here, like, in his underwear on the bed. And he's like, hey. So Gary, and my teacher was, I think I heard an audible gasp from my teacher. She was like, And a few months go by, I'm still doing investment banking, but I had a few experiences that you know, led me to want to be myself more of the time. I realized that I wasn't myself all the time, and I had a few experiences where I felt like I was myself. And when you realize that you are yourself some of the time, it also means that you're not yourself all of the time.
Mm.
And so I was really committed to doing the things that I wanted to do and being myself as often as possible. And a friend of mine calls me up and she's like, hey, I'm producing the show tonight. Gary's headlining it. Do you want to come? And it was a really intimate venue, but I was like, oh, I can't go because work is really busy. And I know if I ask them to go to a comedy show, they're going to tell me, screw off.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I told her, I was like, thank you, but no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a moment where I was like, I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do my job tonight. This is so important to me. This is like, seeing him live is like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
I have to figure out some way to go. So I called my team up and I was like, hey guys, I know we're so busy, but my cousin just flew in. My cousin was living in Israel at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my cousin just flew in and he surprised us. I didn't know he was coming in, and he's only here for one night before he goes to DC to visit his grandparents, and then he's flying back home. Can I go get dinner with him tonight? Because if I don't get dinner with him tonight, I won't see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get to see him. And they were like, I don't know. And I was like, please, like, this is so important to me, lying through my teeth.
Right.
I was like, this is so important to me. And they were like, okay, fine, you can go. And I was like, okay, awesome. And also, I was living in Chelsea at the time in New York, and the show is in Gowanus, Brooklyn, which is probably like a 45-minute subway to get there. So I needed time to get there, watch the show, and get back. I probably needed like 3 hours.
Okay.
And so I told them, I was like, guys, also like, thank you for letting me go. Also, just a heads up, my cousin is kosher, and the best kosher restaurants in New York or in Brooklyn, so it's probably going to take me a little bit of time to get there and get back. And they're like, okay, cool. So I go to the show. I sit front row. I see Gary perform. And he's, like, doing a little bit of crowd work with me during the show. It was really funny. Like, this guy was, like, not just my, like, comedy inspiration. Like, I was so moved by his work. Like, his hair was long. That inspired me to grow my hair long. He was talking about how he looked like during the set. And then after the show, my friend Jack was like, well, we should go say hi to Gary. And I was like, what do you mean? We can't just go say hi to him?
Yeah.
Because I was like much more like I was much more obsessed with comedy than I was much more like I wanted to be a comedian. Jack was just a fan of Gary's.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, we can definitely go say hi
and
to
Jack him. Was in his underwear, probably.
No longer.
Oh.
I mean, don't we wish.
Missed opportunity.
Don't we wish. I call him Jacked Tenney because he's always looking good.
Wow.
But we go up to Gary and we say hi and we're like, hey, we met on Wayne Zoom a few months ago. And he's like, oh yeah, Max and Jack. We're like, what?
Whoa.
What?
That's awesome.
That's so cool. And we were just chatting with him, and I made what I recall being a very tasteful Robin Williams joke.
Okay.
And he laughed, and...
Do you remember it, or...?
I don't. It was something about... It was a suicide-related joke, but a lot
Sounds tasteful.
Yep. A lot of Gary's material is about, like, depression. So it was, like, in relation to his own material.
Okay.
And it made him laugh, and he... gave us his number and was like, text us, we'll get lunch. And so now every few months we get lunch with my hero. And
wow.
So that was the night where I was like, that was a moment where I was like, oh my God, like it made me realize that the world can't give you things unless you ask for them. Mm. Like people don't know what to do for you if you're not telling the world what you even want.
Yeah.
And I just felt so myself, and I was like, oh, if I'm myself a little, like, I just gotta keep being myself more and more.
How old were you? How long ago was it?
Okay, I think I was probably newly 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were you doing comedy at this point?
I had done like a couple open mics.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That had to be like a pivotal in your career.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say it was like one of, like I was saying, three or four or five moments that I was like, oh, this is what I have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the TikTok ban.
Yeah,
shall we?
Sure.
Yeah. Because when this episode comes out, it should be the day after TikTok is going to get banned.
Mm-hmm.
What are you feeling? Because you have like, that's your main platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Yeah. Are you? How are you feeling about the TikTok ban? I mean, like right now, I feel like it's hard to even think that that's something that could happen. Like we're gonna have to start having our own opinions and thinking for ourselves again. What's gonna?
The way I feel is. From a career perspective, I think, I'll be okay. I believe in myself enough that, and not just in my ability to create content, but to pivot and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, I'll roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be sad from a loss perspective in terms of raw content. It'll feel, I'm sure maybe I'll get clowned for this. It'll feel like a modern Burning of Alexandria.
Yeah.
Like all of the content.
No, you're right in that.
Download all your stuff though. You should.
Well, we can download it, but the ability for the what's so great about a library isn't that the author can go in and read their stuff. It's that anybody can go in and just see what exists and learn.
Yeah. I think a big thing that you were talking about with TikTok is the anonymity and the thing that clownfish live in. Anonymity. The like that it's different because when you're on Instagram, you are yourself. Like you have your entire profile there, all of your friends, all of your life. Like that is your life as a social media app. But then TikTok is kind of like it's kind of like the spring break.
Yeah, it feels
life.
Very like, free. It's like it's like, hold on. What if I took my top off?
Mm-hmm.
What if I took my top off and shook them all around?
Yeah, and can we bring that to Reels, please?
Please. I mean, maybe we will.
Yeah.
But
also, Meta is getting rid of their censorship, so
what do you,
take them off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Meta's like getting rid of like all censorship.
That's the thing we talked about.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that applied to TikTok.
Or Reels. Applies to Reels.
Mm-hmm.
Or, right, yeah.
So maybe there will be topless people on
Real. Well, topless in the metaphorical sense.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it'll be sad to lose all that existing content and, mm-hmm. and all the mm-hmm. videos and the art that's been made there.
And the like the shit dare posts. I say culture.
The culture. That's
like,
the word, yeah.
That's a big part of it. Culture. I mean, like seeing these mm-hmm. like sad, heartbreaking edits that are like deep compilation and like yeah. I ain't never seen two pretty best friends yeah. and like mama a girl behind you and like it's just yeah it is sad like yeah. a lot there's been a lot of unification of our you know of our generation mm-hmm. of the, like on mm-hmm. that app I think
in a way that like Vine didn't touch, Instagram didn't touch, mm-hmm. Twitter maybe kind of got to mm-hmm. just in terms of like just being a place to go and laugh and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I tried to stop it.
You did what you could. That was not when you told me that video, maybe you can cut to it. When you told me that you had made a video trying to stop TikTok, the TikTok ban, that was not what I expected. I thought it was going to be some like very highly edited video with like a lot of production.
Mm-mm. It was real. Value. It was raw. It was from the heart.
Yeah. And you were really moving.
Yeah. Oh, I
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be sad to see it go. I trust that I'll be able to land on my feet. I'm a good saver, mm-hmm. you know, so I got some runway to make it to figure out what's next. But I love making my really short films and I want to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And, I just want to tell stories and be silly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think there are plenty of places for that on exactly. the internet. Yeah. Absolutely.
And in real life.
Yeah. Well,
no.
I want to go
keep it online.
Yeah.
Keep it online.
Yeah. Pretty boy. Your little freaky stories. Yeah. Keep them online. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I really like your like use of very short films. You have like you have kind of a high production value, mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you saw a little bit of it today.
Yeah, I did. And last night, I mean, we were running around all over the place. I got to meet your mom.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. was
picking
awesome.
Picking up a dress for the main actress in the video.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you had like a costume laid out for me and we were mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how, if you were going to build this like TV mount that you're going to return to Best Buy right after the mm-hmm. shoot.
Yeah, classic. That's a big part of independent filmmaking is the receipt.
Yes.
Hold on to that receipt.
Yes. And return it. Yeah, yeah. And we went to, I haven't been up as early as I was this morning in a while.
Yeah. We got up and we got after it.
Yeah. And then we
and
got
mind
straight.
You after being up all night getting ready for the video.
Yes. We got up and went to a courtroom set mm-hmm. where, there was also a jail.
Yes. There was a jail. There was a courtroom. There was an interrogation room, I believe.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you had rented all this like just for a short. Like mm-hmm. that's crazy that like production has gotten that mm-hmm. big. That's well, like worth it and that you're capable of doing that.
I
you
just
know?
Saw there's these two guys, or I guess two, three guys that make these videos online, and it just made me realize like, oh, you can go that hard.
Yeah.
There's no limit to how hard you can go. I think it falls very in line with like the you know, my life's philosophy, which is like, well, you don't have to go hard, but if you don't have to go hard, why not just go hard
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and really go all out and see what you can do?
Right.
I think it's like a very absurdist approach. It's like a step beyond nihilism. It's like if nothing matters, why, you know, or it's if nothing matters, which is nihilism, then absurdism is if nothing matters, why not try and soak up. Draw out all the meaning and the fun and the silliness and the stupidness and of life.
Sorry. Grace looks
lost.
So lost. Yeah. She like lost. You looked like you forgot your name and where you were.
Wait, where are the is that the bagels?
Oh.
Are those the bagels?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yes.
Why
yeah.
Bagels?
Oh, thank God.
Because you ordered bagels.
I'm actually kind of hungry.
Yeah, enjoy, indulge. Yeah.
Yeah, it smells like bagels.
Oh,
in
shit.
Here.
Ooh. Wait, ooh. We actually have like a lot of butter and cream cheese.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
I don't know where it went.
I think they fucked it up. Like the
Amazon. Wait. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, was this for the shoot?
Yeah. Guys? Yeah. No, I bought a dozen bagels for the shoot, and I just left them here. That's the other thing. When you bring a big crew together for many hours,
this crew good.
Yeah.
Insane.
Gotta keep them well fed, well hydrated, well caffeinated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I. that was, I just, I, you know, people are coming out and they're going to take time. I want to make sure that they feel well tended to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did. The donuts were good.
Dude, but imagine, okay, that's the thing. I had almost enough to keep people completely satiated. But it would have been perfect had I not forgotten the bagels.
So you are going to get on, you get on a private jet, mm-hmm. flying across the country.
Yes.
Or just like some like really long flight, right? You get to pick three celebrities to go on the flight with you. Mm-hmm. But also at the end of the flight, the plane crashes, everyone dies. So this is like the last 10 hours of your life and also these celebrities' lives. And if...
Did you find it?
And if you, so you get to pick three celebrities to spend your last moments
dead
with.
Dead or alive? Do they have to be alive? Yes. Currently? Okay.
Yes.
Because we have to kill them.
Yes, because you have to kill them, or else there are no stakes, right? Yeah. But also everyone would know that you were the one who did it.
But I'm dead at that point, so what does
it
matter?
Yeah, but it is your legacy.
I think legacy's overrated.
Oh, okay.
I think legacy's the dumbest thing of all time.
Oh, okay.
What are people going to think of me? You're dead, bro.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Okay, that's fair. Then who would you pick to spend your last moments with in a plane?
Keep bearing in mind that legacy is dumb.
Yes.
I would...
But also going on record as these are the three people you would kill if given the choice.
Can I answer your question with a tangent?
Yeah, go on.
So... And that reminds me of a question that I was asked when I was applying to high schools. I went to public high school, but I applied to a private high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a tour of the school. It went really well. Met a lot of people. It seemed like they liked me. And then they gave me like a little test at the end. And on the test was an essay. And the question was, if you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be? I was 13 years old. And I wrote John Wilkes Booth, because I panicked. Because I panicked. And my reasoning was so that I could ask him, why'd you do that?
That's so brave.
Yeah, and I got a scholarship.
Wow. Yeah,
I got a scholarship. As I was walking out, they kind of like flagged me down and they were like, would you want to give the tours of this school the next time? You know, we want you to come back and we want you to kind of be
and
the
that
face
kid,
of this brand.
He ended up being the principal.
He ended up being that, and that kid, Luigi Mangione. that is the guy who would have wanted to have dinner with John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, that is like kind of concerning. I'm glad that I have already spent the night at your house and don't have to any further after finding that information out. Yeah.
I mean, well, I panicked.
Yeah.
But I think when you panic, who you are in desperate times, I think is not the sign of who you truly are, but it's an indication, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair to judge a man based on his most desperate moments, but I do think you can learn a lot from them.
What's been a recent desperate moment for you?
This is a good podcast.
No, I just needed to see how much time it's been, but I'm wearing my prescription glasses from middle school.
So they're not really.
Because I ran out of contacts.
Yeah.
And so if you're wondering why some gay little nerd replaced me today.
That's why.
All the comments are going to be, why is he uglier than usual?
Who? Me?
I feel like glasses make people.
Oh, you.
Hotter.
I feel like I'm kind of.
For me personally.
I think I'm looking pretty good today, and there can only be so much. I think attractiveness is basically mercantilism. It's like a fixed.
Oh, shut up.
It's attractiveness.
It's
a
form of government. Like
no. Mercantilism is a fixed pie. It's like an economic theory, which is like there's only so much wealth in the world. So if you have money and I want more money, I basically have to take it from you to get that money.
Mm.
And that's
what I've been doing while I've been here.
Yeah, is taking money from others.
Yeah.
No, so if attractiveness is mercantilism, in order for me to be hotter, you gotta be a little uglier.
Oh.
You mean the people, like, you have to be a little uglier and hotter?
No, in order for someone to be hotter, someone else has to be uglier because there's only so much hotness in the world.
Well, or like attractiveness is...
A fixed pie.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
balance as all things should be.
Yeah. I like don't feel like I needed to go to school. Like what that's what I would have gotten. Like I'm like, okay, you went to college for business, like attractiveness is up high. We're good.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, cool.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
Wait, go back to the play, right?
The play in Desperate.
Oh,
my last Desperate moment.
Yeah, thank you, Grace.
Yeah. I'm an active listener.
My last Desperate moment was probably I wanted queso, and I really wanted queso.
Mm.
And so I went to Dos Toros in New York, mm-hmm. and I walked in. I was with my friend Noel B. Doherty. Noel B. Askin. Love you, baby. And I walk in, and I go to order the queso, but the queso, as sometimes it does when it's been sitting out for some time, it had congealed mm-hmm. at the top, so there was kind of a layer of filmy cheese on top. And I was like, but I really wanted queso. I was desperate for queso. And so I said, how long has that been sitting out? And the lady behind the counter, which I should have paid more attention to, she said, you'll be fine. she didn't answer my question.
Yeah, right.
She just said, you'll be fine. And
she knows what she's doing, though.
Yeah.
That was good.
She's trying to move queso.
Yeah.
Move queso.
I walked in and she...
Oh, this is queso. I'm yeah. thinking it's guac.
No. Weird. Yeah, weird.
It was weird-looking guac.
Queso. Well, no, I mean, she was trying to sell it. I walked in and she said, sell me this queso.
Yeah.
You try to dip a chip and it just breaks.
And so she kind of did a little whip around with it, with mm-hmm. the spoon, and it looked fine. So I had some. And I said goodbye to Noel after eating the queso. He had a burrito, and I was walking home. I was 10 minutes from home. 3 minutes into the walk, I was like, oh, I'm going to shit my pants. I'm actually going to shit my pants. And so...
Not a single public bathroom in New York City.
No. I mean, New York City is a public bathroom desert.
The way it smells.
No, this is what I started doing. If I walk into a store, because in New York you'll walk into a store and if you have to use the bathroom, they'll go, I'm sorry, we don't have a public restroom. Uh-huh. What I started doing is I will walk into your restaurant, your convenience store, your
establishment,
bodega.
Yeah.
And I will say, I really have to use the bathroom. And if you tell me that I can't use the bathroom, I will look you in your eyes and I will say, I am going to shit my pants.
Wow, that's powerful.
And then they got, and like, then guess who opens up their bathroom to the public?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I will because I don't buy that rule.
Yeah.
Who wants to clean shit on the floor?
No. But I'm walking home and I was close enough where I thought I could make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took off running. I was on the phone with my dad and I was like, Dad, I'm gonna call you back. Big dog got a shit.
Running is so brave.
Yeah.
Dude, I sprint through Manhattan all the time. But
when you feel like you're about to shit yourself, running is brave. Like everything is going down.
I was hauling shit and ass to get home. And I get home. It's like, you know, when you open the door to your apartment, when you really have to poop and your butthole starts to loosen a little bit.
Sure.
Yes.
So I get home. And I realize I reach for my keys, so my butt starts to, you know, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And I realize I don't have my keys. My roommate at the time was very mad at me because I kept forgetting my keys, and he was like, I won't open the door for you again if you forgot the key. So I was like, I can't call him. I can't call him right now. It's late. And so I run downstairs. My sister lived in the neighborhood. And I call my sister to see if I can get to her place. Like, really? It's like I'm, like, fighting for my life. And mm-hmm. I call her and I go, Renee, are you home, please? And on the phone with my sister, I shit my pants. And I shit my pants. To say that I shit my pants would be, I shit the fuck out of my pants. Do you know how hard you have to shit your pants to shit the fuck out of them?
Yeah,
I can't. And, I can't imagine.
Honestly karmic justice because 10 years prior, when my little sister was 13, we were coming back from a college tour that my sister had gone on in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And the car started to stink and we were like, oh, my God, did Rini fart? Turns out 13-year-old Rini had shit her pants.
Right.
And for 10 years, we held that over her. She was such a cool person. But
you
we knew.
Did it. The phone with her?
And I did it on the phone with her.
Did she like understand what was happening?
Yeah, I was like, are you home? Like, I gotta use the bathroom.
And that was the sound that you made with your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I was just making sure you weren't.
And I think in that moment, that was a really nice full circle piece for her.
Justice.
Yeah, because
that
she was,
is really
she was
beautiful.
Like, oh, I shit my pants when I was 13. You shit your pants when you were 26.
Yeah.
That's a lot less cool. And then I had to call my roommate. I was like, Jack, I love you. I'm sorry. I wouldn't call you unless I had to. I just shit the fuck out of my pants and I need you to let me in. And I need, buddy, I wouldn't call you unless I had no other choice. Please let me in. And he did.
Wow.
And he did.
Wow.
So that was my last desperate moment, was how desperately I wanted the queso.
Yeah, there was a lot of desperation in that story.
Across the board.
Yeah, we heard. It's going down. The plane's going down. The plane's going down. You have 15 seconds. Three people, they're going to die. You're going to be all over the news as the guy who killed three celebrities.
Yeah, sorry. Back to that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, so to me, I would want to... That's a really hard question because you want to take people who you would... I mean, if you're going to spend the last 10 hours of your life probably with your, like, friends and family,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying it has to be celebrities because it doesn't make for a very interesting answer if I'm like, Stephanie?
Yeah, but also, are you hanging out with people that aren't famous?
Say, like...
I would
say,
oh, true, yeah.
You've got to stop doing that.
I would say a 50-50 split.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you get that ratio down. That's not... Yeah. It's just not a good look, really.
Well, not, I'm not...
And I can cut this for you if you want.
No A-listers, but, you know.
Right.
But they're listing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They're listing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, three people... I think it would just be, cause there's not really questions that I feel like I need answered. So maybe just people that could regale me with a story or two.
Okay.
I think I would love to, Charlie Kaufman would be a really interesting person to talk to.
Okay.
He wrote, he's a screenwriter. He wrote, Being John Malkovich,
mm-hmm.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind,
mm-hmm.
Adaptation, Schenectady, New York, or Schenectady, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I feel like he has a really cool perspective on life, and he does a beautiful job of getting you to feel something and understand something without, like we were talking about, without slapping you in the face with it.
Yeah.
And so I would love to, I'd like to poke and prod at his brain and talk to him. So Charlie Kaufman, Gary Goldman probably.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, people that really move me. I'm trying to think of other people that have moved me. Probably maybe a musician. Mm.
Maybe just a play.
A play?
No, just a play. On
oh, just
the
play. A play,
yeah. For
that's,
music.
Yeah, I like that. That's beautiful. Maybe Noel. I'm going to do a double, like the Gallagher Brothers.
Okay.
And I just so as the plane's going down, they could sing us out to Don't Look Back in Anger.
Wow.
How's that go? What's that?
Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play? Nice. And it's like... So Sally can wait. She knows it's too late as she's walking on by.
Has anyone ever told you that you have such a voice?
Yes. People have.
I want another bagel.
Yeah.
Okay. Eat another bagel.
Yeah.
You've earned it. People, how's it going over there, Grace?
Wait, I want to find you the cream cheese.
It's fine. I don't think the thing is in there. Like, I don't think the. It's
around.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, did you leave it in the
Are they
car?
Good?
Yeah. Whatever one I just ate is low-key, like, my favorite bagel. Mm-hmm. Oh, is this one an onion?
Yeah. There's an onion and a garlic, so.
Yeah, I kind of
want to
get into the onion and the garlic. I like stinky food.
Yeah. Stinky food.
Best roommate to have. Stinky food.
I mean.
Put tuna on this?
Yeah. I was gonna say. We're talking stinky food. You got tuna out the wazoo.
I made a lot of tuna.
Wait, what are the other stinky foods you make?
I really like sardines.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which those actually really, I think, stink more than tuna. Tuna doesn't, for me, I don't
think. Yeah, no, I don't think it stinks, but it has a reputation for stinking. But I think that's just something people heard, and then they it makes them feel comfortable. Like, or whenever they say it, people are like, yeah. Like, the word moist is...
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, no, it doesn't.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Moist. Please don't say that word. Please don't say that word.
Tuna doesn't smell
I'm
bad.
I'm sorry. I
moist
hate that
doesn't
word.
Make you feel weird.
When they go, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I'm like...
No, it's not. Nails on a chalkboard? Fine. No, nails on a chalkboard do kind of hurt a little bit.
So what are you watching online right now? It's hard to find
I've
good.
Been watching a lot... So I've been watching a lot of movies. What I've been trying to do lately, and I think is a fun exercise, is to go back, like the directors that you love,
mm-hmm.
go back and watch the first movie that they ever made.
Mm.
Because I think it's really cool, one, to see how the people that you admire, their work, have progressed over time. But also, what did these people do when they had their tightest budgets?
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of frame what I might want to do mm-hmm. as I make things, as I continue to make things. So... Been watching a lot of the Coen Brothers, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing a little Martin McDonagh. He doesn't have as deep a filmography, but I've been watching a lot of... I just crushed Severance.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched two movies from this guy, Cooper Rafe.
Okay.
Because he made a short film, when he, or he made a movie when he was in college, like basically more or less on an iPhone that was 50 minutes, and he tweeted it to a director.
Wow.
And the guy was like, the director was like, you have to make this. Like, I'll help you make this. Like,
uh-huh.
not in terms of, like, financing, but he would, like, kind of coach him through it. And he dropped out of school to make the feature-length version of it.
Very.
How was sushi?
It's good.
She's
very good.
Yeah.
Did you consent to being on camera?
Okay. Are we on right now?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
the podcast, and then this is my building a shelf cam for the podcast.
Okay. So,
it's probably just going to be all the shelf video, if that's okay. I'm probably just going to mute it. Do, like, a...
I watched Severance.
Okay.
I love
Severance.
What
about online content? Like,
oh,
what are you finding that you're enjoying right now?
I love the Almost Friday YouTube channel.
Okay.
They make my favorite stuff. It's Will Angus, Elise Patton, Liam McCullough,
mm-hmm.
Billy Langdon, and Chester Collins, Chet
okay.
Collins. And the director is Tyler Falbo. And they just make the most mind-bending stuff, and they do it.
It's like sketch comedy, right? Kind of.
Well, I think people call it sketch, but I don't think it is sketch. I think it's really short films. Because a lot, or some of their stuff is definitely sketch, but a lot of their stuff is narrative in nature. It has a start, it has a through line, and it has a finish, and it usually has some kind of very satisfying payoff in a way that isn't just, you know, the biggest punch, but it's like a very resolute ending.
Right.
And so they're kind of... They do what I love, and so I loved watching that. I got to work with them a little bit. We made a really short film called Escaping the Friend Zone
mm-hmm.
together that I loved. But they make my favorite stuff on the internet, for sure.
Awesome.
I quite enjoy Dago Boop. He's a...
Bless you.
Thank you. he doesn't post as often anymore, but I really like his brain and the stuff that he has made. It's quite tickled me. Grant
mm-hmm.
Beans and Jericho Mankey, I like their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like... people that put a lot into their work, like very high production value
mm-hmm.
stuff. I'm like, they were people that made me realize, like, oh yeah, why not go hard?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your favorite year on TikTok? Would
For
you say
me or to view?
To view. Like what era of TikTok? Because they're all very distinct and very different and changing so quickly.
I'll tell you which year I like the most, and then I want your perspective on what you saw that year as. Because
okay.
I really loved, as a viewer, 2022.
I have no recollection of that
so
year.
What 2022 was on TikTok to me was, it was less about, like, dancing, it was less about kind of, like, the sound... And it was becoming more about the personality, but not in a way where I feel like it is today, which is very vlog heavy, nonfiction
mm-hmm.
stuff. It felt like people were doing, were kind of like pushing to see what was possible on the platform.
Right.
And I would say 2022 to 2023, I saw a lot more of that. 2024, I feel like it's kind of moved into more of just like a really short YouTube. Mm. And so, yeah, I think like any time when people are trying and failing and also trying and succeeding to do weird things, I'm very about. Oh, another person that I love watching is I love Connor O'Malley.
Not familiar.
He put out three things this past year. He put out a feature film He put out a short film, and he put out a stand-up special.
Okay.
I didn't see the stand-up special, but the short film was called Corey's, and I watched it. I was like, I didn't even know you could do that. And then...
What was that?
Corey's? What was it about?
I just watched Corey's, like, the other night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I like his stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's also... I like that he's, like, putting it on YouTube. Like, yeah. He's just making
He's putting it out for the people.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a Bad Idea does that as well. Mm-hmm. Where I...
Yeah.
Their sketch comedy.
Oh, they made a film, too.
They made a film. But they also... They put out some short films. And they're really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. I actually think they're like, horror stuff is, like, just really well done. It's because it's scary, but I find that it says a lot. Mm-hmm. Their sketch is definitely funny, but I think their horror stuff is, like, a level even beyond that.
Yeah.
And they're already making some of the best sketch stuff.
Well, online. I think that, like, maybe that's why you liked 2022 TikTok, is it's kind of, like, when people were seeing what they could do and pushing the limits of the platform. And you seem to really enjoy that kind of content, no matter where it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah, Conor O'Malley did that with Corey's. He did that with Rap World, which was his feature. It was just so, so funny. I really like seeing what people can do with small budgets because it's really true that it's not about the scale. It's about the story.
Right, right.
Whoa, did you write that down?
It's not recording. Oh, it's not about the scale. It's the story.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think my favorite...
Short films. Yeah, really short films. It's not about the scale.
Short films, not about the scale.
Yeah.
Wow, that is good. Mm-hmm. That's good merch.
Put that in the pitch doc.
Mm-hmm. Before TikTok is banned, I think, like, merch, everyone needs to do a merch drop.
Well, we're going to get tattoos. We have to go ask about that.
Are you guys getting TikTok tattoos?
It literally has to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, because we're shooting tomorrow. How late are... I feel like tattoo shops are open late.
You'd be surprised. I think,
Tuesday I'm going to go see a movie.
And then Wednesday?
Oh, we could do Wednesday. Because, the band's not happening until the 19th, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct. Are you guys, getting the TikTok logo?
And our follower count.
And our follower count.
That's so good. That's so good.
Be silly.
Wow. I really love
down
that.
Down to whatever the exact following, the number is when we...
Oh, you think, I was just going to round up and do,
3.2 million?
Yeah.
I think 3.2 million might be funnier than 3,255,000.
That's interesting because the exact... Because that would be more of, this is what I reached before it all ended.
Uh-huh.
You should just get a tattoo of the screenshot of your profile. it has all the thumbnails of your, recent...
Drafts,
that's edit profile and, a little... Yeah, yeah. That's funny. I think the, yes.
When someone's going.
They go to scroll and TikTok, they're like, oh, yeah, you're back.
You feel like a scratch. You're like, no, baby, that's not, you're not getting in.
Come back to me. Come back to me.
Yeah, baby, come.
I'm a little. That's
it. I think that my favorite year on TikTok was 2020.
Why?
Because it was...
It so was.
It just...
It so was. Because that's the year that you started posting on TikTok?
I don't know. I think I was...
That's what we know. You can come from the conversation to us.
No, you're so valid. And keep building that bookcase. You're doing great. Keep it up.
I think it will be finished on this. If you guys, keep talking for, another...
40 minutes.
Can you do a really long episode?
Yeah.
We'll just get an insert clip of when it's done.
Okay, so, yeah. Yeah. You're great. So all of you who are only watching for the bookcase, just know that
you'll see it finished.
No matter what, what it takes.
How long it takes me.
Yeah.
Oh shit, actually the cream cheese might be in the car.
Ooh. Yeah. Not a
but it's cold out. It's cold out.
Okay, yeah, you're right, you're right. I think that 2020 was my favorite because it was that was when it felt like it really united everybody when everyone was like, this is all we have to
Something's
do.
Happening.
And it was TikTok. It was when TikTok really became a form of communication, I think, rather than funny little video and trend. And
who's your favorite person you've ever met through TikTok?
Ooh.
Or because of TikTok?
That's a great question. I wasn't prepared for a great question. I think, well, one, Minecraft found me from TikTok, and that's the best. Mm-hmm. I told you about that, but that's the best thing that has ever happened to me, that they just send me Minecraft stuff. That's my favorite thing.
Are you serious? You got Minecraft Connect?
Not even kidding.
That's awesome.
Wait. Me when I'm Grace.
Oh, wait, one more time.
You're supposed to lip sync. You're supposed to
help me. I'm drowning out here.
You ready?
Yeah, I don't know.
Really cool. If you ever have too much Minecraft stuff,
I'm sure at some point you will.
Yeah, so I hope. Like, you know what they said? Okay, they sent me Minecraft Beats. Like, 10-year-old me was foaming at the mouth. Like, Beats by Dre,
Like, all the Minecraft collabs, like, when they collab, like, because I saw
They did a Minecraft collab with Lush, and they sent me... They sent me a big Minecraft chest full of Lush bath bombs. Yeah.
Wait,
and
is
then,
the chest, like, is it cardboard, or is it, like...
It's cardboard, but I kept it.
I'm fanning my crotch.
Yeah. And then I got, they sent me, oh my gosh, I need to show you a photo, but they sent me a,
So are you going to go to the premiere of the movie?
I would love to if they'll have me. I would love to if they'll have me.
Ask. Look into the camera.
Are you going to the premiere of the movie?
No, I'm saying ask them to bring you.
Could I go too? To the movie?
Hey,
the Minecraft movie?
Please, give me, if I have a +1, Grace, you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, let
Yeah,
they'll
because of this.
To a New York or LA premiere, no?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Oh my gosh, I would love to go.
I don't know if I can go all the way to LA just for Minecraft.
You would. I'll go with you. Like, okay. I don't need to go to the premiere, but I want to see to it that you have a good life.
Just see us before and after.
Yeah.
And see how we've changed.
Oh. I'd love to meet Jack Black.
Well, you guys are at the Minecraft premiere. I'll be at Era 1. Bury me at Era 1.
You're saying that crazy. Can I say that?
Bury me at Era 1, right, guys?
Era 1. Have you ever heard that before?
Everyone. No, that place I think represents all that I find bad in the world.
They should rename it Era 1, and it should be a shop where you can buy stuff from Taylor Swift's different eras.
I screwed up Rocket. Why doesn't Taylor Swift have a shake there yet?
A shake.
Lisa from Blackpink.
Like a $13 smoothie.
Wait, is Lisa? Which one's Lisa? She's the one that has the song for her mom.
She's Thai.
No, but Minecraft is the big one. Oh my gosh, the one that I was gonna say. They sent me an acrylic painting of myself.
Mm-hmm. In Minecraft with the pixels?
Yes.
Oh shit.
They say it's like half of it is pixelated, and then the other is like,
sick.
And then it slowly fades into seriously like. I was in complete disbelief. I felt out of body when I was.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, big things are happening in the bookcase department.
Yeah.
If you're not watching the video, sorry. Wow.
Okay, slut. Yay! Thank you.
That was really satisfying.
I think the way for this video to perform the best is to make the title "Grace Ryder Builds Cabinet While Two Twinks Talk Over Her."
That should be all of my content. Grace, do you want to travel with me and just build bookcases everywhere you go?
Like, maybe ask the people, like, do you guys, like, need some type of furniture?
Yeah.
Because Grace will do it. I could just chime in, like, instead of, like, having a producer that's, like, off...
Graceful.
That's, like, off screen. It's just me.
Building stuff. Yeah, that's basically what you function as.
Wait, one sec. Can we look that up? Yeah, sure. I'm building.
Yeah, don't fucking mind me. Don't mind my ass.
I'm like, please don't.
The back view.
Please stop looking at her. She's fanning her crotch again.
Yeah, from this angle.
Do you have an item to bring for show and tell?
Yes. This is my item for show and tell.
Wow, it's Keanu Reeves.
On a candle. It's my John Wick.
Thank you guys so much for watching. That's all the time we have today.
The reason I wanted to show it was because my old roommate, who is one of my best friends.
It's over.
Oh, that's it? Oh.
It's over.
So I'm sure it was a really cool story, but no one really probably wanted to hear it. So everyone's gone by now.
Thanks for having me.
I'm done with this bookshelf.
Okay, tell your story. Tell your story.
So this is my John Wick. So a friend of mine, we used to live together. He moved out, and for a while, the way we would stay in touch, we you know, make time to see each other. We get food, but for some period of time, every time we would get together, we would watch a John Wick movie.
Mm-hmm.
We would take a little bit of an edible and watch a John Wick movie and just really soak it all in. And now every time he travels somewhere, he always gets me something John Wick themed.
Uh-huh.
So he went to, oh God, I think it was Japan. No, when he went to Japan, he came back with John Wick themed chopsticks, my John Sticks.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he came back with a candle, my John Wick.
Mm.
And
Chopwicks.
And then he recently got me, yeah, Chopwicks. Sorry. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, no. Chopwicks. Yeah, just hold on to that. That's okay.
I butchered that. Yeah, he came back with my Chopwicks, and then my John Wicks, and then he recently got me a John Wick Funko Pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're keeping it in the box, right?
Yeah.
That's gonna be worth something.
And he was so moved by the John Wick series. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
It is the most.
I don't think I've ever watched anything with Keanu Reeves in it. Like, I thought for a second, like Star Wars: The Force Awakens, but he was not Kylo Ren in that movie.
Not even a little. That was Adam Driver.
Yeah.
But
I'm out of touch.
I'm out of my mind. I just wrote that. Did you write that down?
That was cool. I'm glad we got that.
I think it's just a nice testament to how people can stay in touch and be friends.
Can I call these?
My old roommate Jack Tenney. He's a friend.
Always looking good or something.
Jack Tenney, but also, he's my friend. That
looking good, Jack.
It's really cool. I think I know a few people like this in my life who everyone who knows them, their life is better for it. And so, yeah, I like seeing this because it makes me think of him and makes me think of our friendship and the effort that we put in to keep it alive and well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So that's my show and tell.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have anything you'd like to promote?
I feel like by next week, maybe something different. But yeah, please please check out my really short films. They're on my Instagram, my TikTok, at @formerteenheartthrob. I think they're fun, and I think you may enjoy them as well.
I'll be in one of them.
Koi will be in one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, keep those eyes peeled. Maybe something else. But yeah, just...
Yeah, you have one day to follow them on TikTok.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being
thanks
here.
For staying, thanks for couch surfing.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Letting me sleep on your couch.
Anytime.
Hi, it's me on my own here. I'm going to show you the bookshelf in just a second because I know that that's what you're sticking around for. I know how important that is to you. But first, I just wanted to give the song recommendations for this episode, which will both be added to the ongoing playlist that's linked in the description. My song rec for this episode is One of One by Raven Lane, and Max's is LOL by Rainbow Kitten Surprise. So there you go. Also, me recording Grace's final bookshelf reveal kind of turned into me doing an entire Grace Ryder room tour. We recorded like an entire 15-minute video for some reason. So if you want to watch that, it's on my Patreon. And it's really funny. It's a lot of fun. Please check out my Patreon. It's how I make money off of this show. Patreon.com/KoiPiso. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you next week on a different couch.